This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Last week, Pastor Matt preached on Mother's Day, talked about women in his life who have loved him through his faith journey, loved him well. And I wanted to continue that a little bit. I was thinking about that list as he was preaching last week. And I was thinking about some women who have loved me in different times, in journeys that have been difficult for me, in challenging places that I've been in my life for long and short times. Pastor Matt talked about his mom and his wife and a former pastor, and my mom is in there. I don't have a wife, but former pastors are also in there. So the first one I was kind of thinking about was in high school. I worked at a country club, a restaurant, and I was kind of a difficult teenager. I know you can't believe that, but I had a rough time as a teenager. It just, I don't know, growing up was just hard. And to go to work was kind of a refuge for me. And one of the people who loved me really well was my manager, Tammy. And she was the one who hired me. And just as things were hard with my family and with my friends and in school, it was nice to go to a place and just be loved for who I was. And she did that so well. And I still see her to this day. I see her once in a while, not as often as I would like, but she was such an important part of my faith journey in that. And the other one that I was thinking of, so 2 years ago, I moved out to California, across the country, and to start my pastoral internship for seminary. So I knew no one, I knew nothing, I didn't know where to go. I used my Google Maps to get around everywhere for, like, the day that I stopped using my Google Maps to get from point A to point B was like, I celebrated with ice cream. and one of the women on my internship committee was Linda, and she was so supportive of me and was one of those people I could just go to if I was having a rough day or missing home or something. And at one point I had kind of hit a breaking point where just things were hard, and that transition into new things was just getting to me, and I was having a breakdown. And I called Linda, and she listened to me, and she was out of town. I think she was in Hawaii, so she wasn't close. And she said, "Here's the code to my house. Go hang out at my house and eat my food and sit on my couch and watch my TV and just be in a home for a little bit." And that was such a special thing for me, to just kind of feel loved, like almost across an ocean, that she didn't need to be there physically, but she used what she had, which was her house, to love me well through that emotional state for me. And yeah, it was great. Linda, she was awesome. We have friends and family and people who come into our lives and teach us and show us all about love at different points in our journeys. And sometimes it's love that looks like kindness and generosity, and other times it's love that looks like honesty and maybe some tough love at times. I am thinking about the disciples with Jesus in this passage of love, that Jesus is saying, "They will know you by your love, that you are my disciples." And I find it interesting in here, Jesus is talking just to his disciples. A lot of times in his teachings, we see Jesus going on journeys, talking to people on the outside who no one else talks to, who are kind of left out or forgotten. And now Jesus is with his closest people and teaching them about love. Now, this feels important because we talk about relationships in church a lot. That Jesus's relationship, that God, we have a relationship with God and we have a relationship with others. And this always kind of got to me because as Jesus goes along teaching, he'll teach someone about love, like the woman at the well, and then he'll leave town. And that relationship is up to her to make within her community, within the people that she interacts with, but Jesus leaves town to go keep teaching. And now we see Jesus with the people he has traveled with, and he's been with, and he's had actual relationships with to talk about love. And so now his closest friends get to love one another. And sometimes that's the challenge right there. Sometimes we expect the most from the people we are closest to. Sometimes we're hardest on our family. Sometimes we can be hurtful to the ones that we love. So I think the challenge is right in there with this call to love today. In the church, sometimes we talk about love as grace. Very Martin Luther word, and us as Lutherans, we like grace. Sometimes it's a little more palatable for us to have grace for ourselves or grace for one another, and we interchange that with love sometimes. And we mean it the same, grace as forgiveness and kindness and peace. But we use different words for love so that we can understand them and just understand what they mean to us a little bit deeper. The other thing I think Jesus is trying to tell us is that love should change us. As love happens in our body, as it's an experience that we have physically, it changes us as individuals, but it changes us as a body of Christ, a church body, a community body, a family body. And we, as the body of Christ, Paul talks about in his letters in 1 Corinthians, he talks about if one member of the body suffers, we all suffer together. And this is true for love also. If one loves, we all love. And we should strive to change together. And the other thing Jesus is talking about here is disciples leaving a legacy. He's saying people will know you by your love. Everyone will know that you are my disciples, like a legacy, like a platform. But not a legacy like an Instagram profile, or not a legacy of righteousness, not by our hate, not by how many Bible verses we have memorized, not by how many Facebook posts we make, not by our judgment, not because we say it, but sometimes because we say it. Like Michael in the video that I showed, saying it changes people. Saying I love you, telling others that we know and respect and have a deep longing for love with them as well. Our legacies are the relationships that we're in, deep knowing and loving of our people. And there are some well-known people who are known for their love. I'm thinking of like Mother Teresa. But a majority of the famous people that this room would know are not known for their relationships with us personally. They're known, they have legacies of their sports or their music, and most of us in this room also won't reach that kind of fame. So it's not a legacy that Jesus is talking about to be known widely. It's to be known deeply. The knowing that Jesus desires for his disciples is smaller and simpler and will make us a heck of a lot less money, but it is humble and it's quiet in this love. Our people, our neighbors, and our enemies. And Jesus teaches that the opposite way. Jesus says to love the world, love your enemies. Love the ones you don't know, and then love your neighbors, and then love your community, and then love your family and your friends and yourself. So there won't be parades thrown for us or world tours shouting our name, but there will be joy and gratitude in this kind of love, in fullness of life and connection with people. Our call from Jesus is not for the recognition or flowers. It's our response to this Jesus who loved and died and rose again for all that other junk to clear a path for our legacy of love. Graduates, I'm going to transition to you right now. Today we're going to celebrate you and this accomplishment, and I encourage you to find your people. Find your people and love them well, but let yourself be loved well by those people too, because that will sustain you on this journey. Congratulations on your achievement and blessing on your next journey. We, as a church, are rooting for you, and we will be a landing spot for you when you come back, maybe just on holidays. But we're here to support you in this community wherever the world takes you also. So congrats, class of 2025. I have one last challenge for you. Out on the welcome area, I set some cards out, and I'll invite you to write a card out there. I have plenty more too if they're gone. Write a card to someone you love this week. You can take it with you. You can do it while you're here. Or you can call them or send them a text, but let's get in a practice of saying I love you a little bit more to our people. So let's say it and say it often and take this call to be love in the world. Amen.